'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the casa, not a creature was stirring. Caramba, ¿qué pasa? Los niños were tucked away in their camas, some in vestidos, and some in pajamas. While mamá worked in her little cocina, el viejo was down at the corner cantina. The stockings were hanging with mucho cuidado, in hopes that St. Nicholas will feel obligado.
A reading from 'Twas the Night, a Carola Navideña by Maria Morales, in Spanglish. Elan Stavins is assembling the first ever Spanglish dictionary. Stavins is a professor at Amherst College. He tells Steve Paulson he thinks of Spanglish as the child of Spanish and English, well on its way to becoming a legitimate language.
I would describe Spanglish as a dialect in the process of becoming a language that has been around at least 150 years and is not only active in this country, but very much alive in Spain and in Latin America. Of course, the closer you come to the so-called empire, the more frequent the transition in one dialogue from one language to another to this hybrid mix is. The farther you go, the more occasional the words that you use, but the syntax has not been transformed altogether.
What's striking to me as I've listened to some people talking Spanglish or samples of music where the lyrics reflect this is sometimes it's this very rapid going back and forth between English and Spanish, but there are also new words that are being created that are a hybrid between the two languages.
By all means, Spanglish is not only the code switching that goes from the language of Cervantes to that of Shakespeare and back. It is very much the creation of an altogether new format of communication that has its own grammatical and syntactical structures, and that it is right now in the process of finding its own pan-Latino landscape, in the sense that it is the media, particularly radio and television, and also, of course, music, that is pushing the different local Spanglishes that are spoken in various geographies to an altogether new level, where people from different backgrounds, say Mexican-Americans in the Southwest and Cuban-Americans in the Southeast or Puerto Ricans in New York City can begin to communicate in a Spanglish that is part of everyone and that is nurtured by sources that come from different national backgrounds.
Is Spanglish going to become a legitimate language alongside Spanish and English?
I am of the impression that we're witnessing a fascinating verbal phenomenon, one that will clearly shape the way we are and the way we speak other languages as well. Whatever happens with Spanglish, either it becomes a full-fledged language or it doesn't, and I am of the opinion that it is already on the road to becoming one. The fact is, the way we speak Spanish today, or the way we speak English, will have to be changed altogether. In many ways, I have the impression that the creation of this new vehicle of communication is not unlike the shaping of Spanish in the 12th and 13th century when it began to be differentiated from vulgar Latin and began to be involved with regional languages from the Iberian Peninsula. And perhaps we can also link it, as I often have in other interviews and in some writing that I have done, with the shape of Yiddish, the language of Eastern European Jews, that began also in Europe in different locales and eventually became a kind of homogeneous dialect that shaped whole literature 500-600 years from the origins. Spanglish is taking shape as something homogeneous, something very strong. It surely is not showing signs of retrenchment or disappearance. How long will it take for a masterpiece to be written in Spanglish? Perhaps 300, 400 years, perhaps less. It will come a moment, it seems to me, when a novel of incredible caliber will have to be translated from Spanglish into Spanish or from Spanglish into English.
Let me ask you some about the politics of Spanglish, and I think it would be worth drawing on some of the controversy that Ebonics has sparked. One of the arguments against Ebonics is those African-Americans who speak it will have a harder time making it in mainstream America. I mean, it seems to be a signal of a certain socioeconomic class, and the argument is that those people have a harder time getting jobs. Can you make a similar argument against Spanglish?
By all means, this is a very unfair and unequal country. If you are a member of the lower class and speak two languages, you're penalized and you're told you should eliminate one and embrace the other. If you're a member of the upper class and speak the exact same two languages, you are celebrated and are awarded a Rhodes Scholarship to go to Oxford. I am, by being fascinated, by studying, by devoting my time to produce a dictionary of Spanglish, I am in no way saying that Latinos should give up on learning English. I think that this country needs an equalizer, a language that will allow us all to feel and be part of the same country. And that language, without a doubt, is English.
I'm curious about the Spanglish dictionary that you are starting to put together, and obviously you have lots of words that you're collecting, but tell me about a few of them. What are some of the more striking Spanglish words that you've come across?
There are a number of fascinating words to me. One of them, for instance, is the word janguear. There are many places in Holyoke in Springfield, not far from Amherst College where I teach, where signs on the door read, "No jangueo." And sometimes jangueo is spelled with an H, as in hanging out, or sometimes it is simply transliterated and it's spelled with a J, as in janguear. And janguear doesn't really have an equivalent in Spanish. It could be divertirse, pasar el rato, perder el tiempo. But the word janguear has a worldview in itself that is just fascinating, and it's understood perfectly by those that might not even know how to read fully in either Spanish or English. There are other forms, estresar, liquear, estresar from stressed out, liquear from something that is licking. There are entire expressions in Spanglish where or in which you have all the words in Spanish, but the entire thought comes from English, such as a very popular one, llamar para atrás, to call back. In Spanish, we don't have such an expression. We say, te llamo de vuelta, or yo te llamo después. But llamar para atrás is a perfect translation that makes absolutely no sense.
Now, there are other words, I mean, as I was looking through some of the dictionary words that you've already collected, that sound very English, but it's kind of been turned on its head. Anti-baby, meaning birth control pill, which is very fitting, perfect
right.
word. Flicka. Or flika, probably, drive-in movie theater, or a short word for supermarket, just super.
Right. And there are so many more that are simply extraordinary, I think, in the way they are presented or they are archived in the popular imagination. I recently heard one, huachateria, for a place where you wash your clothes, or soquetes, for socks. But there are also many words from English that have been incorporated already into Spanish that nobody even thinks that they are part of Spanglish. Many words in sports, in publicity,
like
in
what?
Politics.
Give me a few examples.
In soccer, for instance, we always say el corner for a corner kick. We don't say el tiro de esquina anymore, or el referee rather than el árbitro, or el offside, somebody who's offside when kicking a ball. Marketing in the publicity industry for precisely that, marketing instead of mercadeo. There are so many different words that have come from one language to another, and also from Spanish into English, particularly in the Southwest. And I think in some way they should also be reclaimed as part of Spanglish, such as fiesta, or rodeo, or bucaru, or lasso, or piñata, that have been incorporated into a dictionary, the Webster Dictionary or the Random House Dictionary of American English, and yet they come from a region where other words were used in the second part of the 19th century, and yet these ones were the ones that replaced them.
Let me ask what may be a very superficial question, but some people talk about the beauty of a language. Italian, for instance, is often mentioned as just a very beautiful-sounding language. Do you like the way Spanglish sounds?
I love the way Spanglish sounds. I love the way English sounds. I love the way Spanish sounds. I think that the mixture of the two. I come from a background where Yiddish and Spanish were spoken in my childhood in Mexico. And when people mixed the two, it gave me the sense of total freedom, that you didn't have to constrain yourself to a certain milieu or to a certain group of people in order to communicate in this way or that. I think that When people use Spanglish, they have a freedom that is very much theirs. And there's a whole tradition in Latin America of comedians that use the language to turn things upside down. Probably the most popular of them is Cantinflas, the so-called Charlie Chaplin of the Hispanic world, although I would put it the other way around. I think Charlie Chaplin is the Cantinflas of the Anglo-Saxon world. And Cantinflas can't finish a sentence. He can't really conjugate verbs. But by the time he has uttered 3-4 sentences, everybody begins to talk like him. Everybody just adores him. And I think it's a quality that comes in the culture. I think Spanish is beautiful in the sense that it doesn't allow to be constrained by forces that come from beyond.
Ilan Stavans is preparing the first Spanglish dictionary. He talked with Steve Paulson.